Can you see heaven this morning? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, as Jackie already read, the Bible says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. I thought about that in the terms that we may think about it. They did not receive the promises. They did not receive eternal life. They did not receive heaven while they were here upon the earth. But yet they saw them and they received them from afar off. They saw heaven through the eye of faith. And the question for us this morning is, do you see heaven? Do you see God? Do you see Jesus? Do you see the promise? Have you received the promise from afar off? Now, what does this expression mean? Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 just for a moment, and let's see and understand what this word faith is all about. In verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. Faith is a noun. It means to have great confidence, being persuaded, and therefore being convicted. And because we are persuaded, because we have such great confidence, because we are convicted so much that we do not doubt to any degree that God exists and heaven exists and Jesus exists and that all of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. We can see heaven. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 6. This is like a parent who promises a child a bicycle for his birthday. 4 weeks in advance, you're going to receive a bicycle on your birthday. And the child does not doubt that in 4 weeks, on his birthday, he's going to receive this bicycle. Takes the little bit of money he has, goes out and buys a helmet. Then goes to the garage and makes a space for this bicycle. Dreams about what's it going to be like to have this bicycle, to go out of my house, go into the garage, jump on my bicycle. What are my friends going to think? What are my friends going to say? How much fun is it going to be like? What's it going to be like changing the gears? Where am I going to ride? What's it going to look like as I ride by? That child can see having that bicycle just as if he had it already, yet 4 weeks later he'll receive it. And it's the same thing for you and I. We know heaven is there. We know heaven is waiting. We know God is waiting there. Hebrews chapter 12, we know that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is there waiting for us to give us that crown that the Apostle Paul talks about. So we can see it, it's like we can reach out and touch it. Because we are so strongly convinced of the promises God has given to us. When we live by faith, we can see heaven. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Here the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And as you look at this chapter, I want you to notice what he's talking about here. He's talking about the resurrection. For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know this. We know that when we die as Christians, faithful to God, that there is another body. Jesus says, we'll be like the angels. There is a spiritual body that we have, and that it's never going to die. We know that. We believe that. It's just as if as if we can reach out and we have it right now, although we still have time on this earth before we get it. We know, verse 2, that we will be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We know that at that time, mortality will be swallowed up by life, verse 4. We know, verse 5, that God has prepared this for us. And therefore, verse 6, being always of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Again, verse 8, we are of good courage. We can see heaven. We can see resurrecting from the dead. We can see obtaining this new tent, this new body, this spiritual body. We don't doubt it any whatsoever. There is no question within our minds. We are simply waiting for the day which we receive it. Back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, I want us to notice as we go through this lesson, because of this conviction, because of being persuaded and having such firmness, no doubt whatsoever, therefore we obey God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Now Abraham is one of these in verse 13 who has said, now he hadn't received the promises, but he saw it and he welcomed it from a distance. And his actions in this life reflected that. The verse before that talks about Noah. From everything we know, it had never rained upon the earth. And God said, you know, it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood and all the animals are going to die. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to build a giant ark and I want you to bring these animals in here and you will live. Because he believed God, he did that. And can't you imagine, as Peter says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Can't you imagine how he was mocked and how he was scoffed? Oh, what do you mean it's going to rain? What do you mean there's going to be a great flood? Noah said, yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what God said. How many people believed? 8 people. And in so doing, Noah is mentioned as one of these patriarchs in verse 13. He saw and he welcomed from a distance, from afar, because he believed in God. Now I want to talk about this faith just a little bit more from the perspective of James chapter 2, because there's something very, very interesting about James. In the Bible, when the word faith appears, it's talking about the faith, the one and only faith whereby we please God and we're saved. Now, James, though, makes a difference, and he explains the two different types of faith in God. Notice what he says beginning here in verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? Immediately, we understand that there are two types of faith. There is one type of faith whereby someone is saved and another type of faith whereby someone is lost. Now James is going to explain that both of them believe in God, but there's something different about them. Continue on, verse 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? What use is that faith? Does that faith do you any good? It does not. Now let's continue on. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. And so James explains to us right away that there is a living faith and there is a dead faith. There is a faith resulting in life, eternal life, and there is a faith resulting in death, eternal damnation. Now continue on as he explains this just a little bit more. Verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Now I remember some years ago reading this passage and understanding it, perhaps for the first time, that the demons believe. And it's very interesting in the world in which we live, some people say, all you have to do is believe. Well, if that's true, then the demons are going to heaven, right? And if the demons are going to heaven, everyone's going to heaven, and nobody's lost, and Jesus Christ is a liar. Can't be. Believing, simply having a mental assent that God exists and God is one, is not good enough. Although many in the world say that it is sufficient, it's not good enough. Continue on. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? And this is the illustrations James had given us. One believed and somebody was in need, a brother was in need, they needed something to eat, they needed something to put on. He said, well, just go on, have a good day, be warmed and be filled. That's a dead faith. That's the same type of faith that the demons have. What is the difference? They do not obey God. Now, James gives a couple of illustrations here, and we'll talk about some of these illustrations later on in the lesson when we get back over to Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to illustrate this faith, two types of faith that James is talking about. One time a house caught on fire and there were two people inside the house asleep. One of the neighbors had called 911. The firemen come to the house and one runs into the house. He gets both the people, wakes them up, and he says, follow me to the roof and we'll be saved. Now, both of them believed that the fireman was a fireman. Both of them believed that the house was on fire. One of them tried to run out the front door, and he was burned up and died. The other person followed the fireman up to the roof, and that person was saved. Did both of them believe? Yes, they did. They believed that the man was a fireman. They believed that the house was on fire. One of them obeyed. That one had a living faith. One of them disobeyed, and that one had a dead faith. One of them lived and one of them died. Brethren, if we have a living faith, this faith that obeys God no matter what, no matter what God says, no matter if it's ridiculous to say, you know what, it's going to rain. It's never rained. What are you talking about? You're crazy. I'm not crazy. God said it. I believe it. I'm obeying. That is a living faith. That is how we see heaven. That's how we see the promises and receive them from afar, is to have this faith. The one who does not have that faith is blind. Not walking by faith, but rather walking by sight. Turn your Bibles back with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. And now it's very interesting, because we can take verse 13 as we are this morning, and we can look at all of the examples given in Hebrews chapter 11, and they all apply to exactly what we're talking about this morning. That's pretty interesting. Maybe you've never thought of it that way before. And I want us to take some of these examples, and I want us to look at them in this way. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. This faith that we're talking about, to see heaven, to see God, to see Jesus Christ, not to have any doubt, to know that that inheritance is yours, to know that it is waiting there, to know that that crown of life is waiting for you today. Your actions reflect whether or not you have this faith. Those who have that faith go out not knowing where they're going, just as Abraham did. God said to Abraham, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your home in Haran, and I want you to go to this other land that I'm going to give you to an inheritance. By the way, I'm not going to tell you where it is. Pack up and you start going, I'll tell you when you get there. Now that's very much like all of us today. God has told us that we have to leave. He has told us we have to leave the world, we have to leave sin, that this can no longer be our home. And he says, I want you to pack up, I want you to leave, but I'm not showing you where you're going right yet. Now in Scripture, he shows us a little bit. Through the eye of faith, we can see that, we can realize that, we can know that it's real, but who here has been to heaven? Who here has physically seen God? Who here has physically seen Jesus Christ? Who can scientifically prove that there is any life even after this life? Can you do that through scientific experimentation? No. It takes faith. For all of us willing to pack up and to leave this world of sin and go on this journey, this world is not my home. In essence, not knowing where we're going, having no physical proof of where we're going, we can see heaven. We have the faith to see heaven. We walk by faith and not by sight. Look at verses 9 and 10. That Abraham was a traveler, a sojourner. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Now, let me ask you this. Are you living in this world as an alien? Chris addressed this just a little bit. And it's very easy for us to get very comfortable. It's very easy for us to feel at home. It's very easy for us to love this world and all the things that it has and all of our family. This is my home. But do we live every day, this is not my home. I love it and the Lord has blessed me, but I'm going somewhere else. We talked about this morning in the teenage middle school class that we must love God more than mother, father, brother, sister, all other relationships. A boyfriend or a girlfriend wants us to do something bad, we say, goodbye. Sorry, this is over with. Is that the way that we live our lives? If we look at ourselves and conduct ourselves as sojourning and traveling as aliens, we have the faith to see heaven. You can see heaven today. Look at verses 11 and 12. Those who walk by faith do those things which the world seems to them to be impossible. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Why is it she had this ability? Why is it that God blessed her? Why is it that God gave her strength to do this? Because she had faith in God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you believe that you can do those things through faith that many in the world seem just to be impossible? You're crazy for thinking that that's the way that you can live. And you're crazy for having this whole idea of life. You know, we as Christians, some people look at us and we have these moral standards and we have this standard for the family that's uncompromising. And those in the world look at us and say, you know what, you're just crazy if you think you can do that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Here is Paul's prayer for those in Ephesus, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit and the inner man. Brethren, we who live by faith have an inner strength those in the world do not have. Paul speaks of it as having the peace that surpasses understanding. The people in the world can't understand it. Shirley Bates was at Bible class Wednesday night, and I was flabbergasted. Let me ask you this. How many people going through chemotherapy earlier in the day do you think will be doing anything that evening, much less going to church? What percentage of the world population do you think? Less than 1%? A small fraction of 1%? Why is it she had the strength to be at church Wednesday night after going through chemotherapy? This is the reason. Look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Sometimes, brethren, I think we shortchange God. To think, well, I can't do that. If I do that, well, then this is going to happen and this is going to happen and all these problems are going to happen. Forget that. Just believe in God. That you can have chemotherapy in the afternoon and go to church that night. Believe in God. According to the power that works within us. Brethren, we need to understand this. We have power working within us that the rest of the world does not have because of our faith in God. Our actions reflect our faith. And our actions reflect whether or not we can see heaven or not. If we walk by faith, we can see it clearly through the eye of faith. These confessed that they were strangers and exiles. So we've confessed it today in the song. Now that's easy to do. Here in verses 14 through 16 and then verse 40, they didn't receive these promises apart from us, yet they had the faith. Thousands of years earlier, where they saw them, verse 13, they received them, yet for thousands of years Christ would come. So that they could really and truly receive them. But let me ask you this. Do you make this confession in your day-to-day life when you're away from here? When you're away from all this encouragement, do you make that confession? Do you make that confession in the way that you live, the way that you conduct your life, the decisions you make, what you're going to stand up for with your mouth itself? Do you make this confession or do we not confess? Do we make this confession? What are we confessing with our mouth and our actions? Do we see heaven? Are we welcoming the promises? Think about that. If we have this faith that is so strong and so convinced that we readily confess and we talk about it, we can see heaven. And it's reflected in that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning in verse 17. These individuals were faithful when tested. I want to remind you of Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. Let's remember that. The Lord tests us. Hebrews 11 and verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Well, that's quite a test, isn't it? Abraham, go out there and sacrifice your son. Go do a burnt sacrifice. Put him on an altar. Kill him. Light him up with fire. Go out there and do that. This is another time when he said, you know, just go on out there and just go on out there and you start going. I'll tell you when to stop. I'll tell you when you're there. Just go on and start going. Living by faith, we pass the test. We pass the tests of God. What are some of these tests? Well, remember 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21 uses Noah as an example of this. That God told Noah, here, build this ark, it's going to rain, it's going to have a big flood. You all get in this ark and you're going to be okay, you're going to be saved. And he says there is an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. As Noah and the ark were a test, so is being baptized a test today. Now, many in the world do not pass that test. They're unwilling to believe God that when you are immersed in water, that your sins are washed away, that the blood of Christ is applied to you, that you're added to the Lord's church. And they look at that and say, no, there's no way that can happen. There's no miraculous power in water. Well, you're right. That's what Peter says. It's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. You're right. It's all about faith. Remember Colossians chapter 2 and about verse 14. Faith in the working of God. That's one of the tests. As we walk by faith, convinced without any doubt to obey God, no matter what, we can see heaven. You can see heaven today. Look at verse 22 as we talk about Joseph for just a second. You may have wondered in the past, why in the world this example is here? Well, it's here for the exact reason that we're talking about this morning. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Now remember your Bible history. How far off in the future was the exodus of the children of God? About 400 years. And when you think about the fact that our country is a little over 200 years old, 400 years is a long time in the future. But Joseph was so confident in what God said that his plans were made for the future based on Scripture. As we walk by faith, our plans in the future are based on Scripture too. Based on the things that God has said. I plan on being in heaven. It wasn't too long ago, I was talking to a fella, and we were talking about diseases. And he'd had cancer a couple of times and had some really bad operations a few times. And we were talking about these things like that. And you know what? As I was talking to him, I could see that he had no hope of eternal life. And there was nothing I could say to him. To me, although these diseases are terribly bad and having terrible things happen to you and having a hand cut off and having to get that put back on and things like that, that is a very bad thing. But I can think of something a whole lot worse. And I can think of something a whole lot better. This fella had no hope of eternal life. Just of the things in this life. And I felt so sorry for him. Our attitude is going to be reflected. Let me ask you this. Are you a half empty or half full? Is your glass half empty or half full? How do you view life? Is life such a bad, terrible thing and you're always down and critical and things are just so terrible? You're not, are you, Daniel? Why? Because you have hope of something else. We're not focused on this life. The things that happen in this life, yeah, they can be a hassle. Yeah, they can be hard to deal with and everything. But let's be honest, is it that big a deal? You know, politics, I'm concerned about politics. I'm going to go vote and all these things like that. But I tell you what, I just don't get real stressed out about it. I mean, there are more important things than who wins an election. And I'm going to do my part, but I'm not going to get all down and out and all these types of things like that. There are things that are more important. And how about an attitude toward death? I tell you what, this is the greatest thing to have a fantastic attitude about death. I'm looking forward to dying. I don't want to leave Beth and the kids and all this. I don't want to do that. But I'm looking forward to the day when I pass from this life. And if it's earlier than later, you know what? God is going to take care of them. Sometimes I tease them, I think they'll be better off. But I'm looking forward to dying. And I've told you before, my grandmother passed away. We were there in her apartment the day that she fell and never recovered from that. And she'd been wanting to die for years. She knew that when she was going to die, she was going to be with her husband in eternity. There was a part of me that was really glad. And I was not sad at her funeral. Because my attitude was this. I'm not saying goodbye. I'm saying I'll see you later. I'll see you in a little while. It's not like I'm not going to see you again. It's not like I'm not going to be with you again. I'll just see you later on. And I'm glad you get to go on and be with those you miss so badly and you want to be with. The way we think about the future changes when we see heaven. Well, my time is up, so I'm just going to go through a couple of these really quick. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27, they chose God over wealth and fame, and that's Moses. Moses was in Pharaoh's household. I mean, he had all the riches and the fame of Egypt, and he gave it all away. Try to put a dollar amount on that. Trillions? Quadrillions? Gave it all away because of faith. He saw heaven and was willing to do whatever to be with the children of God. The children of Israel trusted God for victory and deliverance. Crossed the Jordan, marched around Jericho. One time of the first 6 days and seven times the seventh day. Trusted God for deliverance. And then turned away from the world. That's Rahab. I'm going to offer the invitation. And I'm going to use that. Rahab turned away from the world to be with God and to be with God's children. And that's what God asks every one of us to do. If we have faith. Putting God first, putting heaven first. That is our goal. That is our aim. We'll give up anything for that. We'll do it. In Hebrews chapter 13, here speaking of verse 12, Jesus, who was sanctified through his blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. If you're walking by faith this morning, confidence, totally, completely, without any doubting, trusting in God, putting Him first, then you can see heaven. Maybe you've never thought about this before. Maybe you never thought of it in this way. Let me encourage you, open your eyes, see heaven, reach out and touch it. Because that's where you'll be in just a little while. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can't do that. That's not your hope. That's not what you can count on. But it can be your hope today, and it can be what you count on, and you can reach out with faith's eye, and you can touch it for the first time today because you have faith to obey God. What does Jesus ask you to do? Simply to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. To repent of your sins, that's just to turn around, go the other way, not the way of sin, not the way of the world, but the way of God. To confess that this is in your heart, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then Your first test is, will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? That's your test. Will you believe God for that? If we can help you this morning, we'd like to do so. Won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?